I saw Tony and Marjorie and then the Barmans. I said, well, now you're just going to be a regular team like everyone else. Once Tom Brady's gone, and welcome to the real world. Pulling for mediocre football teams.
Garoppolo's coming back.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. We could use a quarterback in Carolina right now. So I do want to share a few things. My heart I won't be long just because of the way the service has gone. I said something last week regarding the upcoming year. There's a new year coming up as well, 2020. And listen, it doesn't take a prophet to recognize that in this country, that in 2020, there's going to be a lot to get up your gander. There can be a lot of chaos. There can be a lot of things. And one thing I felt is you can either be more in the year, more like Christ, or more like what's around you. Yeah. And those are very strong distinctions. And very, let me just jump ahead of what I'm, everything. There's a passage in Ephesians 4:24, and I actually love the NIV translation on this, but it says we're created to be like God. In Genesis, we're image bearers of Him. And so I'm either becoming more like Him or I'm not. It's either, Andrew said that this morning, first or second place, there really is no one and a half with the Lord. There's really not. And He's very gentle. And I always find places, when she said what she said up there, I'll be honest with you, I got very convicted. Because I can find places in my life where I'm not sure, Lord, are You really definitely first in that area? And I think all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, and so I feel I have a healthy fear of God. I feel the jealousy of the Lord. I do. And I also feel His loving and His graciousness to me. And says that, you know, You're here and I'm giving You ample opportunity to say, you know, I'm going to lay this at Your feet. It may not be, let me say this too, those things may not be like, you know, oh, my job's more important. It can be an attitude of your heart.
Yes.
You know, it can be an issue of pride in your life, you know, not wanting to. There's certain things in our life, there's things that I can point to out here, and there's also certain things in here that can dominate rather than Christ in my life. And it's been very important. I've been very grieved lately in my own life. I've been wrestling this week. There's a ministry that I have a few of his books at home. He's a young guy, he's in his 30s, and I hadn't seen anything from him in a while. I wonder why in the world not. He's a gift to the body of Christ. I'd actually reached out to his ministry about a year ago. I never heard back. I said, what in the world is this going on, you know? And I just found out this week, he had Danny Silk, I don't know if you're familiar with him, out in California, is on his board. There's a tremendous and moral failing in his life, and that's fine. We get restoration and things, but I guess what prompted the letter is there's a real lack of repentance. It just grieved my heart. I have books at home from men, where they're all actually just men of God, where there's been great failings in their life. There's a study done by someone, he's a teacher at a university, I can't remember his name. I'm not even trying to remember his name. He teaches on leadership, and he's spent his life studying leadership, church leadership. And that can be all of us, because all of us can be leaders in our jobs, and our homes, and things like that. But I believe it was 60 to 75%. Maybe I'm being very generous with that. He said who ended men and women in the Bible, and men and women in our, you know, the past church history, who ended with less anointing than they began with. And it's a stark reminder to me, Lord, I don't want that to be me. Either I'm going to be influenced by what's going on around me. This is okay, that's okay, this person's acting like this, this person's doing that. Or you're going to look at me and say, you know, you're more like Christ this year. It's one or the other, or else I'm just staying where I'm at. Which if I'm just staying where I'm at, I think I'm really just, why am I living it really, you know? I'm either going up or I'm going down. And I think it's really important to assess at the beginning of the year. When I see men and women of God with great gifts, gift things to the body of Christ that we need, actually. We're gifts. Fivefold ministries are gifts to the body of Christ. They are. It's not just they have it, they're a gift to the body of Christ, and we need those If you have a gift, wherever you minister, it's when I minister my gift, I'm showing love to someone else at the end of the day. Amen? Because you have something I need.
Yeah.
And if you love me, I'm going to receive from you what God's put in you that I might not have.
Yeah.
And it's important that I steward those things well. And that I do have a healthy fear of God. Lord, you're good. I know that. You're loving. You forgive me when I mess up. When I repent, you're faithful. But Lord, I don't want to end this year with a hardened heart that's unrepentant. I don't want to end the year swiping down a hole that I wasn't going up when the year started. I've been wrestling with that all week. Amen? I've been wrestling with it. No temptation to seize you except that which is common to man. It talks about in Corinthians. It's talking about Moses' church he pastored in Exodus there. It's nothing new. It's been going on. We're humans. And the tendency, like I've said here many times now, is just to deflate and just sit and rest on my laurels and not really progress. And when I do that, I'm slipping backwards. Amen. I want to keep a zeal in my life. I want to keep a fire in my life. I want to keep a humility in my life. I want to have a teachable spirit. I want to have grace and mercy towards others, love towards others, backbone, that's what we were talking about earlier. And I want to always be humble before the Lord. I don't want to get to a place where I can't come in here. As I do, I'll get up on that thing and just kneel at the cross. I don't want to lose that.
Amen.
I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose it. And it's important this year because we live in a world with so much information, so much going on all the time. Look at Twitter. I mean, it's unbelievable. When you get wrapped up in the world sometimes that we in, it's important to be engaged in that, to know what's going on, but I have to speak to it from a different perspective. I have to, or else I'm no different from what's going on, and I'm no witness, and I'm no testimony to what's happening. And so, my heart, I didn't mean to go into all this right now, but we need to hear it. My heart is that we would just be tender-hearted. We would have a healthy fear of God. We would understand his jealousy for us. That's a good thing. Amen. His passion for us. Now, he doesn't want to share us. He doesn't want second place. And it's a healthy thing when I see men and women of God who I esteem highly, and they get to a place where they harden so much where they're unrepentant in areas that are blatantly sinful. Amen. I don't want to get to that place. I don't.
Amen.
And I look at people and I say, you know, if it happened to them, it can happen to me. But I also look at the ones who aren't that way and say, if that can be their model, then I can be their model as well.
Amen.
Christ is my example.
Yes.
And I look at his life. Kept going and going and going and going. Very end of the Bermond cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yes.
You know, kneeling before the Father the night before he went. That's what I want. There's certain people that I look at, men and women of God that I can model, and I say, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Can we say that in our homes? Can we say it in our jobs? Can I say it when I'm by myself and no one's around me? When no one's around me, I want you to watch me and follow me the way I follow Christ. What a question for all of us.
Amen.
It really is. Like, I want that. For me, I want that for you. I want that for this church. I don't want that to go. I don't want that to be diminished. If we're going to disciple others, we have to be good disciples ourselves.
Amen.
Amen. Characters, when no one's around, what am I doing? When the light's turned off and no one can see me, what am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, how am I treating this person at the grocery store? Things like that. What am I? What's my character in my life? And there are certain people, I'll say, in the body of Christ around, and I say, I would like to be like that, have that much grace and that much anointing when I'm there. That's what we should shoot. We shoot to be like Christ, and we have models in the body of Christ as well, mothers and fathers, amen, that we can look up to. And so take that. I didn't know she was going where she was with worship, and it's weighing heavily on my heart because that tendency is there in our country. Right now, I'm going one way or the other anytime, but right now it's really heightened in a lot of ways. Amen?
Yeah.
and there's distinctions and there's clarities I believe the Lord's going to bring about. And that's a good thing because he separates the wheat from the tares. So in some sense, that's a really good thing. You know, the Lord deals with the tares, not us. Amen. That's a good thing because I would get rid of people before they're ready to be gotten rid of. But when he separates the wheat from the tares, I want to be the wheat. I want to be growing up. I want to be a mature stalk for the Lord. If there's a tear, the Lord will take care of that. And he's patient, gracious, and long-suffering. So, let me share a quick thought. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And I've been in Romans for a while. I haven't been in there for a while. I was for a while. And then I spoke on the gifts of the Spirit, some of those. And the simplicity of the gospel is something that we all need. I talk about basics sometimes. When you're, even Owen had his first basketball game of the season yesterday. He scored 4 points. I'm so proud of him.
Wow.
And I think that's, he tied his total all of last year yesterday. And so he, first basket, he got a steal, drove it down the court, shot, and scored. Yay!
Yeah.
Yes, that's my guy. And so he did a wonderful job. But even sometimes basics, I've been teaching him how to shoot the ball. We raised the goal at home to 10 feet, so he's lost his form. And we went back to 8 feet. And I said, Owen, you have to go back to the basics. We don't launch it like this. Two hands, you bend, and we went through everything. And sometimes in our lives with everything, it's important. I've said this before, and I say it a lot here because I think we need it. Basics are very important.
Yeah.
And someone gave me a book for Christmas. I've already finished the whole thing. It's amazing. It's not really basics. But I can't contend for all that if I lose the foundation.
Right.
And that's day to day.
Right.
And so I contend for the amazing things, the things beyond the basics, Hebrews 6, the things beyond those, let us build on those. I contend and I want more, but I can't lose the foundation in the process. And go love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. I love in Micah 6:8, do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It also says worship as well in other translations. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I love those two verses because the word, and Bob would appreciate this with his classes in the Greek, for conformed and transformed are very different. And conformed, it's the word schema. And what it means, it's we look different today than we did 10 years ago. My body changes, the way I look changes. I mean, we age or we do things. That speaks of something that's happening on the outside. It's your schema. And so I remember when I was back home one time, I went to Walmart, and there was a guy I played basketball with and played college football, a great athlete, and I wouldn't have recognized him at all. I saw him and said, hey, Clay. Because whatever decisions he made in his life, he looked completely different. And you hate that moment when you see someone, you're like, oh, I don't have a clue who you are. He says, I'm Dante. Oh, they wouldn't have known you, man. But and we say hello. Because the schema changes. Amen. And those things change. The word transform is metamorphosis. And I've talked some about that before here. I'm not going to go into it much. But the perfect verse for that, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So Dante, his schema, his conform, was changed. His metamorphosis, that word in there, it speaks of that which you need that doesn't change. So that which is internal, amen? And sometimes those things, like I said, that's either nothing's happening or it's growing. That stays the same without the Lord. So we have to recognize, and this has to grow, we have to be renewed. It says, our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So my body might be perishing, but my inward man, there's something going on and transpiring that should be alive, vibrant, and being renewed, right? And it says, for if our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory, Well, we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, the things that are not seen are eternal. That's just a Selah verse to me. What's seen is temporary, what's not seen is eternal. There's a man of God I love in Oklahoma. He has a huge church, and he said, I've done over 400 funerals in my day, and I've never seen anyone take their belongings with them.
Amen.
Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. This is simple, but it's very important. I have a responsibility to build up my spirit, man. Amen? I have a responsibility to grow,
Amen.
To be more like Christ. Because whatever happens, whatever I look like 10 years from now, whatever goes on there, what really counts is what's in the eternal realm. And I think there's some people in the earth who have accomplished tremendous things. But at the end of the day, what's there in the eternal, in the eternity, from the perspective of heaven, I want to be known as a friend of God. I want to say, you know what, in the spirit, in the heavens, you've done well. Amen. And that's a very important and a vibrant thing. And we should have all of that in our life. And he talks about renewing your mind. And here, and I watched an episode, it was Inside Bill's Brain on Netflix. Bill Gates. And it was really fascinating. Just a brilliant man. I would hate to work for the guy. But it's just a brilliant, but he calls the brain a computer, basically. And it says in Ephesians to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I don't believe my mind is just a computer. In the spirit of my mind. Amen. My mind can be renewed. I have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
And the scripture talks about a debased mind. Okay, it talks about a mind that is, I can't remember where it said, there's a debased, and there's another area somewhere in Ephesians where it talks about my mind can be negatively altered and affected. But I can be renewed in the spirit of my mind, have the mind of Christ, my spirit, my soul, and my mind, everything about me. And it says this just briefly, we all with unveiled face beholding the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Spirit of the Lord. Basic thing, real quick before I move on, and I won't be much longer because I'm going on under your time. In 2020, this is so simple. Prayer and reading the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Andrea said this last week, and she said it better than I can. I can either be affected by what's going on out here, what I can see with my natural eye, what's temporary, or I can be affected and transformed by the eternal living Word and the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. But that's where we need to be oftentimes. And when people mess up, when things happen like I was talking about, oftentimes they forget their basics. They forget simplicity of prayer and reading the Word. Not reading the Word for what I can get to give to someone else, but how does this speak to me? How does it work in my own heart? How does it work in my own life? Is this growing in me? If I'm dictated to by the news cycle, it changes from one day to the next. If I follow celebrities, I've never done that, but who's hot one day is not going to be the same tomorrow.
Right.
Who's hot, who's not. Same in all different sports is the same way, and I love sports. But I can't dictate and govern my life on that. There has to be a center and a foundation of the simplicity. And that's simple. But we all need to take that point very well. We need to take it. I wasn't going to do the Bible reading plan this year. Because I was going to do a different type. I'm in the Bible all the time. I was going to do a different Bible reading plan. I was going to do more. I was going to do something different. And I was with the Lord one night this week, and I just got so hungry. I said, Lord, I want to read the Bible again. I want to do the plan again. I have to do it again. I just want to do it again.
Yes.
Read your Bible. There's a man of God. I can't remember his name. He was involved with Pinecrest at school. Talk about. And he was a minister in his 80s, and someone asked him, he said, if you could do one thing differently, what would you go back and do? He said, I would have spent more time reading the Bible.
Amen.
So he was a powerful man of the Spirit. So if I could do one thing differently, I would go back and I would read my Bible more. And I said, take that point as well. He was a powerful man. I can't remember his name. The Lord used him mightily in the Spirit. One thing I could go back in his 80s, I could go back again, I would read more of the Bible. Amen. Let me go to a couple more quick points with you guys. I talked about gifts. I'm not going to go into that. In verse 9, it says this, Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. I'm to love God, and I'm also to love us, because as a church, it's very important that as I go through the year, if I go through a world of uncertainty with things going on, that I'm also recognized that in the body of Christ, salvation is individual, it is, but I'm also born into a body, and I'm born into a family. And in Ephesians, it talks about how he brought Jew and Gentile in one body by the cross. Amen. And so oftentimes, and I think I sang this way this morning because it's been on my heart. Actually, the Lord does it to me often. I sing songs when I'm in corporate gatherings, and I sing it for me. And the Lord will challenge me to sing it for us, all of us, because I need that. Amen. I have to have that. I can't go any further than you and vice versa. And there's a couple of things in here. It says, be kindly affectionate to one another and honor giving preference to one another. Let me say this. When you're in a... Again, I feel like I'm repeating myself with things. But when the Holy Spirit emphasizes something, it's not that I'm out of balance in that area. It's just what the Holy Spirit's emphasizing. And so, one of the things that can happen... I love church, and I love relational conflicts that can happen in church, because that gives you an opportunity to run or grow.
Amen.
Right.
And I believe in the early church, they took those and they didn't run, but they grew. They understood covenant, they understood family, and they understood that iron sharpens iron, and that I can either take things that happen, I can take disruptions in life, I can take disruptions with other people, and I can cause it to make me to rather get offended at them to love them better. So when Lloyd offends me, I can either ruffle my feathers at him and avoid him, or I can love him better.
Amen.
What choice do I have?
Yeah.
You have the power to choose how you act.
Yeah.
The enemy can come in there, but I get to choose. I'm going to choose to love, because it's family. Family issues in the natural can be very rough to take care of. Trust me. Amen? They can. And I have... Well, everyone has family issues in the natural. Amen? And sometimes those can be... That's places to grow.
Yeah.
It's places to grow. And we learn to grow, or we learn to run and retreat. And I don't always do the best with it. I really don't. And I'm growing, and I'm working my way there. But oftentimes things... There's a... Another man whose name I forgot, he was in World War II, writer for the New York Times, and he was talking about the war, and he said, some men die in the battlefield, some men die doing this, and he said, some men die playing silly little games. And I think so often that can apply even to church family and as the body of Christ. The world's not paying attention to our doctrinal statements. They will know you are Christians by the way you love one another.
Amen.
And so they look at you, how do you relate to the body? We get we get emails monthly, and Google will send us, how many people found your website this month? How many people came across you?
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how many do. I just don't believe that they're looking, what are you saying about this? I mean, sometimes you are. I'm not speaking against that. But they're looking at us, how am I relating to here? How is my love for this person? How am I doing this? Amen?
Mm-hmm.
How am I interacting? How am I living it practically? And it goes on. And he says, distributing to the needs of saints, given to hospitality. I have a point I'm going to make on this. And I'm not saying this as a definitive thing, because I hate to make general, broad statements and say, you all fit into that. Because it's not always true. But one thing that's been a distinction, rightly or wrongly, you know, the gospel offends every culture, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It offends every single culture. I grew up in the Bible Belt. The gospel offends the Bible Belt.
That's right.
More than you know it does. We can stick our chest out, we're this and we're that, and we're just as religious as they come with things, and as snooty as they can come with areas. And I know that. and I tell people sometimes, I look back and I say, you know, there's certain things I don't miss about the Christian culture. It doesn't mean they're bad or wrong. It means they're really good. But it just means there's an area of the gospel that should confront certain areas that we need adjustment in.
Yes.
And one of the things given to hospitality, distributing to the needs of the saints, there's an account in Galatians, which I'm going to read in a minute, but one thing that Connecticut and Rhode Island and Massachusetts have been known for, rightly or wrongly, I'm not going to say it is kind of an us for no more mentality, which I know who I know, and that's how it's going to stay. And I know my wife's found that out with even with the homeschool group, where she bent over backwards for doing things. And that's not, let me say, that's not the gospel. It's not. And I'm not saying you have to always have people over, do all these certain things or things. I'm not talking about that. But how do I embrace other people? Amen?
Yes.
How do I embrace people in my church? Like I said before, so if I don't see someone here for a while, there's probably a good reason for it, and I might not want to share it is, but reach out. So some things that cheer me up more than anything as a pastor is Jim told me this morning, I reached out to this person. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin's done that. When Bob had a need, Bill and Kevin went over there. When I hear stories like that, this is like I'm trying to say all of us can do better.
Yeah.
Those stories, I'm like, yes. And I'll go tell Andrew, that happened. Like Bob had a need, and Bill and Kevin went over there, and they prayed for the man, and he got results. Like that's given to hospitality. That's family. If I live near my mom, I was telling Andrea last night, I grew up with my grandparents. I was really blessed because my grandparents, I was really close to, lived within a bike ride from my house. So I grew up riding my bike to their house. But even when I was in college, I was home for the summer, and my granddad had a physical issue. His wife was gone. And so every morning I went over before I went to work, got a job, and I went, got his paper, took care of what he needed because he couldn't get out. Why? Because that's family.
Yes.
And he needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And if I didn't go take care of my granddad, that would be lousy family. And so in Galatians chapter 2, it says this. Don't turn there, just listen. Verse 11. It says, but when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Now, one of the whole context of Galatians is the just shall live by faith, right? Not the works of the law, but faith in Christ Jesus. Before, it says in verse 12, for before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also play the hypocrite with them, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of the Gentiles and not as Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? So what was happening? Gentile and Jew. He's formed them in one body by the cross, he writes about in Ephesians, right?
Yeah.
So we're eating together, Lloyd and I, Jew, Gentile. And I see the other crowd come in. I said, I'm going to pick up my tray and go sit with these guys right here. Now that's mean, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But why did the Holy Spirit record that for us to be reading later on?
Mm-hmm.
And why did he say that you were not straightforward with the truth of the gospel? Because he picked up his tray
right.
And moved it somewhere else. Have we ever asked ourselves that question? It's a good question. It does away because when I make distinctions, I'm this, you're that, and I don't recognize the family aspect of this. I say, you know what? It does away with just shall live by faith. It separates that. There's a man, Robert Gladstone, and he said this. I have a book by him, and I pulled it out recently because he makes this statement that's so good. He says, if the gospel creates a new family defined practically and symbolically by the Lord's table, that wherever we table the fellowship is broken, the gospel is broken. Justification by faith entails more than forgiveness of sins and relief from religious works. It also means that all who believe join a new family and therefore become brothers and sisters.
Amen.
When someone refuses to eat with a brother or sister, he violates the gospel itself. If that seems harsh or overstated, that's one thing I believe it's not. Here's what he said. What is harsh, that is, what discourages biblical love is creating the kind of church that doesn't make true fellowship essential to its existence. What is harsh is preaching justification by faith without living it out through a shared life. Peter rejected Gentiles by holding himself aloof from them instead of treating them like co-heirs of the same covenant family. To me, that is harsh. I said, wow. That speaks to me, actually. It does. It should actually speak to all of us. Because the gospel is something that is individual. It's accepted by faith. It does grant me access to Christ. But it also makes me responsible to the family of God around me. Amen? It makes me responsible to, this is me personally, especially as someone that God called here to pastor it, that when I sing, I don't sing just for me. I sing for all of us. Amen? Sometimes we think of the presence of God, and I'm the most guilty of anyone in here. I think of, and this is true, manifestation and different things, that's true. But where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them.
Yeah.
Heaven is my throne, earth is my temple. Where is the house you will build for me? Mm-hmm. We talk about, I want habitation, not just visitation. He comes and abides in a house. He inhabits the praises of his people. And Peter talks about we're living stones, not a living stone, but we are living stones built up into a holy habitation for the Lord. Amen? Sometimes I feel, when I've been around other believers, even just in one-on-one, I feel even better than I do when I come out of my prayer closet. Why is that? Because I have to see the presence of God when I'm around others as well.
Yeah.
And that doesn't just come, and I'm going to say this too, and I'm speaking to myself, and there's different seasons of life, we have that. That's not just once a week. It's not just an event. Church is a weekly thing. Church is, Jim telling me, I called this guy,
yeah,
and I'm going to take him out to coffee.
Yeah.
That's family. That propping you up, man, because it's good. That's church. Amen? And I have to see the presence of God in that.
Yeah.
I can see the presence of God in worship. I find the presence of God in my prayer closet. That's all important. But if he's going to come abide and habitate with us, it means that I open up my heart. It means we do things here like the potluck we have next month, but also means I can call up someone just like I did with my grandfather, and I can say, you know what, let's go get coffee. And there's the presence of God. The Lord can abide in that. Amen. Because you're the same. You're a covenantal family here on the earth. Amen.
Yeah.
And he goes on and talks, and this is my last point, and I'm closing. But he ends this by talking about how we treat others outside. So I love God, I love each other, and I love those on the outside. And he says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. And do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but give place to wrath. For as written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen.
And let me say this too. As far as fellowship and family and things like that, Banning Lipshear, I think is his name, Jesus culture guy, he was planning a church, and he said, people would come up to me and say, what does your church do for the poor? And he says, I don't know, what do you do for the poor? Because you're the church.
Yes.
So what are you doing? Rather than just someone. So that's why I was given one reason to give props to you. So well, what are we doing for that? Well, what are you doing for? So maybe the Lord puts someone on your heart. It's like, I haven't seen them in 2 months, or I haven't seen them in a month. What are you doing for that? Amen? Because if that's who we are. So, last point. If you read in the New Testament, churches are often described not by institutions or organizations, but through the house they're in or from the city they were in. Amen? And so, I said this earlier, we're the part of the church at large. We're a local family in the church. Pocket up westerly. We have all sorts of people around here. Rhode Island. Stins in Rhode Island, Massachusetts. We actually have all of southern New England in our church, which is really cool. Connecticut. Do we love our community? And I was riding home from church this week, and it was was sunset, and I was driving where the golf course is on Elm Ridge, and it's the most beautiful sunset. And often when you come out of prayer, you're more attuned to the Lord and things. And I was driving, and I was just feeling the presence of the Lord, and I felt this great love for our community. Yeah. And He was here long before any of us got here.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. He knows the people. How can I love my community? Andrea shared something with me this week in a Stonington Community Forum. And it was a beautiful idea. And the day I become a full-time pastor, I'm going to do this. But it was a Presbyterian pastor, Nathan Westerly. And there's a really cool bookshop there, Savoy. If you've never been there, it's a neat little bookshop. And she wrote on there, "I'm going to be in Savoy this day from this time if anyone wants to come and talk."
Wow.
So what a wonderful thing to do.
Wow.
Presbyterian pastor there in Westerly. I think it's in Westerly. So I'm going to do that when I have the time. How can you do that as well?
Wow.
You know, can I have church and Dunkin' Donuts over there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, my dad does that. He'll go different places and have coffee, and people come up, and that's it. How can I love my community? I can love them and serve them here. My last story, and I'm closing. Chris Valentin shares. I've read this a couple different times. I'm closing this. He was in. He's ardently pro-life, and he still is. And Planned Parenthood was going to put up a outpost or whatever it is in their city there. And he talked about how I used to go, and I would round up, you know, 200-300 Christians. We'd picket it. We'd do these different things. You know, all of it speaking for truth, which we should speak for truth. He said, but they moved the venue. He said, there ended up being about 20 or 30 or 40 Planned Parenthood activists there who were all, you know, pretty much silent because they couldn't speak. He said, when it came down to the vote, he said, they voted to put it up. And he was saying, I reflect on that all these years later, you know, and my position was right, but the way I presented it wasn't. And he said this, I was closing my notes, but I wrote it down. He made a commitment to himself. He said this, "I will treat all people with respect, whether friend or foe,
yes,
as they are created in God's image."
Yes. Yeah.
There are a lot of foes. If I feel, and let me say this too, it's right in 2020 to engage, to know what's going on, to speak up. I was telling the Motts and Kevin lately, I wrote a letter to our congressman, or an email to our congressman recently, because I'm trying to do that. I feel strongly about this issue that you're doing, but I was very honoring in it as well. Thank you for your service to our district. Appreciate it. But I feel this. I could have a voice, and you need to have a voice, and you need to speak. But when I speak, I keep in mind that they are created in the image of God.
Amen.
And in the day I wrestle not with flesh and blood,
amen,
but against powers and principalities.
Yes. Yes.
And so when I'm speaking to someone, I'm speaking, I can see the Christ, they were created in the image of God, whether they're walking with Him or not, whether
right,
they know Him yet or not.
Right.
And I treat them as someone that God created.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at them beyond what's going on here. And that's so important because in our situation, in our world, in our country, I've never seen such disrespect in all my, and I haven't been around forever, but I see tremendous disrespect and defaming people because I don't like their position, I don't like this. Let us not be a people who does that. Let us be a people who says, I speak out to this, I'm not going to defraud your character because I don't agree with your opinion. Or I'm not going to marginalize you because I don't agree with you. I will tell you what God says. Have a voice, have a backbone like we talked about. Amen.
Yes.
I value the unborn. I do. I value it. But how I speak to them can be just as important. And I can look at them as someone created in the image of God. Amen.
Yes.
I've rambled on longer than I thought, and I appreciate you guys for bearing with me. But loving God, loving each other, and loving the community that He's called the church here to be. Because I have to be salt and light. I have to know what's going on and love Him. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You have something, Jim?
Yeah. I just want to say, personally.